I have a question for you that is really around the first slide. So if I can get the first slide apart from the title slide. Okay, if you can read that with me. Man is least himself when he talks in his own person. Give him a mask and he will tell you the truth. What do you think? True, false? Both? Agree, disagree? And maybe shout out where you're at and let me know what thoughts you might have. Bit of both. Depends who you're talking to or about. A mask does make it easier, so I think we're probably inclined to agree with it in that sense. Do we wear masks? And of course, this is the message today, not coincidentally having had Halloween last night. Do we wear masks? Novelist André Bertillon seems to think so. And he says this, we all wear masks, and the time comes when we cannot remove them without removing some of our own skin. What do you think? Do we wear masks? I'm not talking about masks for a purpose like these, or these. That is actually a very positive memory for the Air family. We're snorkeling somewhere in the Mediterranean. Oh, no, the Caribbean. It's so hard to remember. I'm going to need you to move somewhere. Like, that's awesome. Or this one, for instance, is purposeful too. Wake me for coffee. These are the blindfolds you wear for better sleeping. Or masks for tribe, right? Like these. Or even masks for play, like this one. But masks that keep us from being honest with ourselves and about ourselves. This may be Xander here. Like this mask. And masks, then, that keep us from knowing one another, as Shel Silverstein talks about in this poem, who is a children's poet. If you haven't read any Shel Silverstein, I implore you to do that this afternoon. If you can't read it from where you are, I'll read it for you. She had blue skin, and so did he. He kept it hid, and so did she. They searched for blue their whole life through, then passed right by and never knew because of the masks they wore. I think we all wear masks all the time, actually. Sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. Let me make one for you now, intentionally. A mask, that is. This is for all the teachers out there. It's craft time with Teacher Rob. So, yes, here we go. Why don't you take the mic? Which is, yeah, go.
I just got off the phone with Xander. Everybody's, like, there's no serious injuries, but the van is totaled. They're on Vetter just by planet Earth there. I'm on my way now to go help them.
Good.
They're in our small group, so be praying. It looks like Moki's got some pretty good whiplash. What happened was a car oncoming lost a tire or a wheel off the vehicle, and it crossed the center line and smoked the van. So it's pretty bad. But as far as any other injuries, he said he didn't say anything about that. I'm pretty sure he's pretty much just in crisis mode right now. So, but I'm on my way now to go help them. So be praying.
Yeah. Thanks for the update. Ever done this? Let's go. So you take the mask. You start forming it around your face like this. Yeah. Is it working? Okay, so a little bit. Hold on. Funnily enough, I'll need that later. All right. Why do we wear masks? Legend has it that the Celts, from whom we get much of the Halloween backstory, celebrated a final harvest for 3 days, actually, from October 31st to November 2nd. They left the fields empty of life, and they slaughtered any livestock they had that they thought might not make it through the winter. It was a time, they believed, when the line between the dead and the living was so super thin as so the dead would walk among the living, sort of like ghosts haunting the earth. These people were known as the Druids, believed that these spirits were earthbound until they received a proper send-off with treats, like possessions or food or drink. And spirits that were not suitably treated, in other words, they didn't get what they wanted, would trick those that didn't treat them properly, and they'd have a tough time recovering from that. Some believed the spirits could be warded off by carving grotesque faces into root vegetables and setting a candle inside it, something like a jack-o'-lantern. And some believed that wearing a costume or a mask to look like the spirits that were roaming the earth might, in fact, fool them and thus leave them alone. Do we wear masks to scare people off? I do. I wear one particularly for any boys who are interested in my 14-year-old daughter. I think there's all kinds of reasons that we wear masks, right? Why we end up acting like people we just ain't. Because we think people will reject us if they really get to know who we are. Because we're just trying to fit in. Because we want to be liked. Because of all the stereotypes that we're trying to live up to or not. Because we want to protect our hearts. Because we've been hurt. Because we're angry. Because we don't want people to know really how we feel, so we hide that. Because in the end, actually, it's just easier to pretend. Because we think that it'd be better to be someone else than it would be to be ourselves. Because of fear or ignorance. Because we mistakenly think that saying or doing something at a certain time is the right thing to say or do, and it's easier to say it behind a mask. Because we want to project a sense of more competence than we actually have. Because we're very insecure in the moment, and we need to hide that, and so on, right? But our model for living this life as Christians, Jesus Christ, he never wore masks. Never. He was and is the most completely mentally and emotionally integrated person who has ever lived. In other words, Jesus was consistently the same guy here and here as he was here and at his feet. He was inside out the same guy, always good, always other-centered. Always loving. For example, though otherwise, when Jesus was sad, he didn't go, well, men don't cry. That's not Jesus. He didn't wear the mask of being a tough guy. He cried when his best friend died. When Jesus was happy, he didn't conceal it because he's Mennonite. We don't do that. We're sober-minded people who have a good theology of suffering. So we don't laugh or smile. He went to parties, and he wasn't afraid of a good time. First miracle? A wedding. Turn water into wine. When Jesus was scared, and yes, he was, what did he do? He prayed. He knew when he needed help and was willing to ask his Father in heaven for it. When Jesus needed others, he asked his friends for help. He knew he needed other people, too. When Jesus saw people who needed a friend, he hung out with them. He wasn't afraid of what others might think of him. Who Who doesn't want to live like that, right? Who would rather live a compartmentalized life? Who wants to be a duplicitous, two-faced, wishy-washy, inconsistent hypocrite? Put your hand up if that is your big chief goal in life. I don't. But how do we shed these masks? Well, first things first, we need to admit that we're actually wearing them. The first step to getting better is diagnosis. I think it's safe to say that we all wear masks from time to time. I say that now, not actually to make us feel guilty, but to give us some perspective. We are all in the same boat. So there's no room for condemnation of the other, but there is always room for change and betterment, right? Perhaps it would help to ask a couple of diagnostic questions, like, when do we tend to wear our masks? When we're tired? When the pressure is on? When we're feeling cornered or defensive? Sunday morning? When we've got nothing to lose? When we're very confident? We just put on that mask. I got this. And who do we wear them for? Is another good diagnostic question. So when, and then for whom? Family, certain friends, some of our coworkers? Do we even sometimes try to wear a mask with our Lord? Which is pretty ironic, because he goes right past that. We need to recognize the situations when we are saying and doing things that don't reflect who we are. So let's give it some thought. Where am I a pretender, and with whom? If I'm being honest, and this is pretty raw for me, I think I know when I am wearing a mask and with whom most often, and it is my colleagues in ministry. I tell them things that tend to make me look smart or competent or like I have it together more than I actually do. I don't generally spend a lot of time talking about my leadership failures or when something doesn't go just right. That doesn't get a lot of airtime. No pun intended, my last name's Air. Very good. I can even do that crazy compare and one-up thing, right? And you do it too with your friends. I'm just talking about me, though. When a ministry friend tells me that they've done such and such, and it's really cool, and it's worth celebrating, this is what I can do. This is the mask I put on. Then I went up by saying, not literally, but figuratively, oh yeah? That ain't nothing. You should see what we did. I can sometimes be talking ahead of conversation, not even really listening, just waiting to share my next story of greatness. It's pitiful. Why? Because I want my colleagues to respect me. And if I'm being brutally honest, I probably also want them to be a little bit jealous that I get to lead such a great church. Which leads me to my next point. Having acknowledged we wear masks, we need to figure out what's underneath the mask we're wearing. What are the motivating factors behind us wearing the masks that we do? I mentioned a bunch of possible motivating factors a little bit earlier, but I'd like to ask a few more clarifying questions around those. Is fitting in or being liked or having the respect of our coworkers worth sacrificing our personal integrity? Do we really want to keep company with folks who cannot appreciate us for who we are and who we are trying to become? Is it time for some new friends? Do we want to live up to common stereotypes like men don't cry, men don't get scared, or women don't know anything about sports? Will wearing a mask actually keep us from being hurt or sad or becoming angry? Does burying our feelings and faking it lead to a healthier way of living? Who wins in the end when we belittle others because of our insecurities or make more of our successes than is fair to say by strategically omitting our failures? We need to figure out what's driving our behaviors. If our motivations don't align with the way of Jesus Christ, so things like fear or face-saving or fakery, then we need to shed those masks. They serve no one. If our motivations, on the other hand, do align with the way of Jesus, like being honest or other-centered or just saying or doing the right thing no matter what, then let's not mask these kinds of things. Third thing I'm going to say this morning on this topic is we need to shed our masks slowly. Because we spend time with people who wear masks, walking away suddenly will be a shock to their system as much as it will be a shock to ours, perhaps. Slowly, then, I think we need to remove the masks that we might wear and gently challenge others to consider moving theirs. Slowly, because I'm inclined to agree, actually, with Jerome's quote earlier, that we cannot remove them without removing some of our own skin, and that will be painful. And just to say this, this isn't about judging others and challenging them on the masks they wear. This is just about a true and real and better way of living and relating to each other. I'll give you an example here. The scene is your lunchroom, wherever you work. You are at a table where your coworkers are gossiping about another coworker. What are you going to do? Are you going to join in on the gossip because you want to fit in and be liked? Are you going to switch topics because you don't want to add to the gossip, so you're going to distract and move them off topic? Are you going to walk away because you don't want to appear as if you condone the gossip? Or are you going to challenge them on their gossip because sometimes all it takes is one person to be honest about it for things to start to change? There's at least three decent answers there, by the way. The first one isn't. If people blow us off or make fun of us for being the nice guy in the crowd or the girl who's trying to live mask-free, I want you to know this. They did the same kinds of things to our Lord. And as long as you're going slowly and gently and respectfully and communicating these things and drawing them out, how they handle you is on them. We may lose a few friends along the way, and that will hurt. But let me ask you this. What kinds of friends reject our efforts to live more authentically? Perhaps not the kinds of friends that we want to keep. Fourth and final point. We need to apologize for the masks we've worn. I think. I lost some skin recently on this topic, but it was well worth it. I'll tell you the story. I was at Wendy's after Sunday morning service, just Josh, my son, and me. And there I saw another pastor, someone whom I actually quite admire. He was at a table with a bunch of his friends or family, I don't know which, because I don't know him very well. As if reading my mind, he said to me, I was in line waiting while he was sitting, "You don't remember me, do you?" But I did. He's memorable, and I'd met him at a conference some time ago where he was a speaker. He asked me how my Sunday morning went, and then I asked him the very same thing. He's an incredibly bright, kinetic, emotional guy. And so, out of the blue, I put on my "I can keep pace with this guy because I want to be liked by him" mask. Ever put that one on? We then briefly kibitz back and forth with each other at around the clip of 100 kilometers an hour. Like that. Very clever, very whatever, right? Less than a millimeter deep in terms of its content. He told me that it was his last Sunday at the church where he'd been leading as the interim pastor and that he was heading into the interior for a short holiday. That's when I put on my second mask, the I'm so jealous I'm going to try to make you feel puny mask. So I said to him, because he had a reputation for preaching a certain way, so, and you're going to be proud of your pastor in this moment, hang with me, I'll need your support after the service. So did you preach the word today or just tell stories? Nice. Nice. And then for some reason, the conversation sort of awkwardly ended there. Don't know why. He segued really awkwardly out of it. I had tried so hard to keep pace and to be playful that I didn't slow down enough to say the things that I really meant to say. The conversation stuck with me for some time until a day where I was able to track down his number and make the call. In that call, I said to him, and I'd rehearsed it, and I'd prayed about it, and I'd thought about what I needed to say. Because if you're gonna apologize, do a good job. I'm sorry for the things, some of the things that I said to you that day. It's not what I wanted to say. I got distracted and too far afield from my heart, actually. What I really wanted to say was, it must be bittersweet to be done. I know they're going to miss you because you're a good man and you're a great pastor. And I hope you have a great holiday because I'm sure you've deserved it. I shed my masks. So did he. And that's the thing about shedding masks sometimes. It'll have that effect. He forgave me and he said to me, you know, I started that whole thing, because he's like this, right? I started that whole thing. Would you forgive me? And I said, no. I don't think so. By the end of our conversation, he had said to me, you know what this means, don't you? And I'm thinking, oh, no. No, I don't know what this means. He says it means we're friends. So the next time I'm in Chilliwack, lunch is on me. And I said, well, that's good. I eat. It's good. Barely missed a meal. I think Oscar Wilde was right, first quote, and wrong. I agree with you. I think we do tend to hide behind masks to say the things that we are sometimes too afraid to say otherwise, or to justify not saying them at all. But I don't think it's the right way to live. Nor do you. Jesus had some very harsh words for those religious folks he would have called hypocrites. He did not like masks at all. He didn't like anything that kept people from living a true and better and real way. So, let's be aware of the masks we wear and why we wear them. Let's shed them slowly and let's apologize to folks when we've worn a mask with them. And if I had actually effectively made a good mask out of this, it would have been illustrative to have done this by way of showing you it's always a good time to shed a mask, right? Last question. I'll leave it for you around your lunch tables for discussion. In this context, I think we're probably of the same mind that wearing masks, not a great idea. Is there a time where it's appropriate to wear a mask?